Caleb and Dawson with you this morning on the WIB Wake Up Show. We're talking the best leftovers. What's actually better the second day? So, Dawson, a recent survey of Americans found that over half, 56% of people said the question, the daily question, what's for dinner, what's for supper, is actually one of the most stressful things they encounter during the day.
Interesting.
And now, I mean, I've never really asked that question because I'm not the primary meal preparer, so I feel my wife takes on the burden of that a lot more than I do. But going alongside this, 72% of people said, you know what, leftovers are a great option. When we're talking about for lunch or for dinner, having leftovers is great. And you found a list of some of the best leftover foods.
According to a survey, these were what were given. Pizza, 63% of pizza said it was the best. Oh, above that, soup and stew, 79% of people, or 79% said meat is listed, pasta, rice, vegetables, Chinese takeout, roast potatoes, sandwiches, tuna salad, and egg salad.
So here's the thing. I would say absolutely number one, soup, stew. For instance, like a chili.
Oh, yeah.
It really is better the second day as everything, all the flavors kind of meld together. It truly, truly is better the second day. But this, when we go down to pasta, which is fourth on the list, 60% of people said, yeah, pasta is a great leftover. Spaghetti and meat sauce or meatballs, this is where I have a point of differentiation with some others. And I'm curious where you fall on this, because when it comes to leftovers, I very much enjoy spaghetti and meat sauce or meatballs. But the leftovers must be kept separate. The sauce and the noodles must be kept separate, or I do not like it. And I don't know what it is, but to me, it just doesn't taste good when you mix the sauce and the spaghetti noodles, put it in the fridge, and then try and warm it up again. I can't stand it. But if you keep them separate, I love it.
You know, okay, in my home, that's how we do it. We keep the noodles and the sauce separate, and I've never put much thought into it. I've never known what, at least I can't come to mind, what it's like to have them together, but it doesn't sound appetizing for whatever reason.
It stains the inside of the Cool Whip container that you use for leftovers. I found that.
I'm not a picky person in general when it comes to leftovers. We were talking a bit about how, you know, pasta in particular, you keep the sauce and you keep the noodles, but sometimes you make too much of one. You're like, oh, I'll keep this and I'll make some sauce later. But, you know, you find some in the fridge, you're on your way somewhere, you just want to eat something.
Yeah.
You have a bunch of noodles. You can't do anything with just a bunch of noodles. The other day I had a stir fry, I think, and we didn't have any rice to eat it with. And I just wanted to eat something before I went to bed. So I just warmed it up and put it on bread.
Sure. I just kind of wonder sometimes, and maybe it's a man thing, but I'll eat stuff cold. I'll eat stuff without the proper fixings.
Oh, yeah.
It's just whatever's quick and close
to
hand.
Food.
And that's, yeah, exactly.
There's a place for proper meals, and there's a place for just getting things in your mouth and just swallowing them whole.
Yeah, you know what? Just to provide energy for the day. Way down on that list of favorite leftovers was guacamole at 36%. Mm. I love guac, but I'll have to disagree with that one because usually it turns brown and slimy so fast. Well, I didn't know that there was controversy around the burrito, Dawson, but we're going to try and set the record straight here as much as we can, because apparently, as is just kind of par for the course these days, there's some misinformation around where the burrito actually came from, this staple of Tex-Mex food.
Yeah, apparently, or rather allegedly, Kim Jong-il, the former dictator of North Korea, came up with the wheat wrap shortly before his fatal heart attack in 2011. Apparently, the strain of it was so great, he just couldn't stick around.
We appreciate his gift to the world.
or so is the claim from the North Korean press machine, that this was his great invention, which caused us to do a little digging of our own, and we've come across some less alternative facts about the food.
I love how you call alternative facts. Yeah, they're just lying. All right. But they also said that there was a booming trade in burritos in the Pyongyang capital of North Korea. Not true either. But you know what? Maybe they would be a little bit happier over there if they did have burritos.
But I would. I think they need a little bit more reform than burritos, but I'm sure they'd take what they could get.
So Dawson dug around a little bit. And so we have some real facts, as far as we can find on the internet, at least, about the actual history of the burrito and some things you might not know. And maybe we're just making you hungry, because I think it's kind of a good comfort food. And on a cold day like this, a warm burrito, sure.
Food's been the theme this morning with leftovers and now burritos. I guess it's just on our minds.
Yes, very true. All right. Let's start it off. I'll go with this factoid because of this interests me. Burrito actually means little donkey. The reason why burrito has this meaning, we don't know, and neither does the internet. But the most widespread theory behind it is that it was served out of the back of a donkey-drawn cart.
The word burrito circulating around northern Mexico around the 1850s. The Mexican Revolution in the 1900s was said to popularize the food even more, with it being a war food, the tortilla helping keep the inside food warm.
So we talk about burritos being originated out of northern Mexico, but what's interesting is that they are not a traditional dish in the southern portion of Mexico.
Right.
And that is because part of that area of Mexico does not grow wheat, out of which, again, the tortillas and the burritos are made. So, again, it's kind of a regional dish even in Mexico.
The burrito was introduced to menus in 1930, added to the dictionary in 1950, and it started to catch on properly by the 1970s. This might just be common sense, but the difference between a burrito and a chimichanga is the chimichanga is deep fried.
I love chimichangas.
They're great. I just didn't know. I was just like, yeah, it's just another one on the menu, another...
And the thing is, you look at this two-decade span between the 30s and then it starts being popularized in the dictionary in the 50s. We're talking the U.S. Adoption of the burrito here. And then the 70s said, yeah, it really starts rolling out. Breakfast burritos started catching on in the 1970s in the U.S. And then by the 90s, again, 20 years later, then the fast food chains mainstream, McDonald's, Hardee's, Sonic, etc., started bringing out breakfast burritos and adding them to their menu.
And at this point, they're basically everywhere.
Yeah. Pretty much. And also, I didn't realize this, the California burrito or burritos in parts of California, they include French fries in the burrito.
Interesting.
I'd try that. I haven't thought of that before, but sure, why not? So again, we're just here to let you know, hey, pretty sure we should give Mexico credit for the burrito. And
probably.
Then, of course, the U.S. kind of adopted that. We are a melting pot, and so take all sorts of different things. Don't think we got it from North Korea. Anyone did, but...
Not known for its culinary excellence.
Yeah, anyway.
I think I'm going to close it out. Quickest time to eat a burrito. 44.2 seconds?
Is there a standard size?
That's a great question. Now, this is pretty recent as well. May of 2019, Leah Schutkever made the official Guinness World Record for devouring an entire burrito in 44.2 seconds.
Man, I guess when I go to Chipotle, I eat it pretty fast, but I like to savor it a little bit more than that.
Hey, guys, doing a great job on the show this morning. Loving the music and the food conversation. I heard you about an hour ago talking about leftover spaghetti, and I got to say, even on Tuesday, Caleb, when you and I worked together, my breakfast and lunch that day was... breakfast sausage on top of the noodles, and they work together. And here's the deal. It saves one Tupperware container rather than two. It's easier to put into the lunch pail. And then third, the taste was fine. I've had it both ways, but really, you should try it again, Caleb. It's not that bad. Have a great one. Bye.
All right. Havo weighing in from home here. And here's the deal, Havo. It is not most leftovers that I care if they are mixed and touching. It's just the spaghetti noodles and the sauce. It's the sauce and the spaghetti noodles that I cannot stand if they need to be separate. I don't know if it's an Old Testament law, but they need to be in separate containers for me. But most other things, yeah, I'd agree with you. I think, yeah, they can be together. It's okay. But something about spaghetti sauce and spaghetti noodles as leftovers, need to keep them separate. Just my humble opinion. Mm-hmm.
I think he brings up a good point. If you don't have enough Tupperware, it's like, you know, it's still going to, like, if you put them together, it's not the end of the world. Like, you can still eat it the next day if you've gotta, but I can also see the side that it seems less ideal. It's not the best way to eat it. I feel like you gotta mediate between the two of you.
Yeah. And now here's something. If Mark's still tuned in right now, to our shame, in the burrito discussion, there was a factoid that we forgot in honor of your padre that we should have mentioned.
Absolutely. The most, like, personal burrito based fact that I know, his love of beef and bean burritos. For as long as I can remember, they have been in our fridge consistently.
It was a cause of great mourning when Aldi ran out of the ones
when he ran out. It was devastation. And then, you know, the resurgence, they returned. They're
which
back,
is good.
And they're back in our fridge at home. I've had so many over the years, and he's had more than me.
They're delicious.
They're a staple in our household and in my father's life.
Yes, and yeah. We want to give credit to Dwayne Roberts, who invented the frozen burrito in 1956. He's a philanthropist. Thank you, Dwayne, and an entrepreneur in California. So he prepared the very first frozen burrito. So you never know who's listening, the usual co-host of this show tuning in. God always listens.
Some slip-ups on social media, posted social media on Twitter and TikTok in particular, kicking things off. A lady says, in retail, talking to a customer, I meant to say, I'll be right back or I won't be long. Instead, I said, I won't be back and walked away.
Oh, goodness. Again, here on the WIB Wake Up Show, Caleb and Dawson, embarrassing moments that people have admitted to on social media and said, yeah, face kind of turned red. When that happened, here's another one. This is from a lady named Julia. She says, I went into a shop and when I left, they said, have a nice day. And I replied, no, thank you. I thought they were asking if I wanted a receipt. Have a nice day. No, thanks.
No, I don't think I will. when I was in court, I forgot what to call the judge and I accidentally called him Your Majesty. He was like, what? And I repeated it.
Sorry, Your Majesty. Oh, goodness. This lady says, I was 8 months pregnant and saw someone I knew at a restaurant. They said, oh, my goodness, what are you having? And I said, chicken. I love that we can laugh about it now, because I'm guessing they wouldn't have posted them social if they weren't laughing about it. But at the moment, yeah, pretty embarrassing.
Just crushing. One time as a waitress, a guy asked me for extra mashed potatoes. I replied, they're already as mashed as I can mash them.
Oh, goodness. We'd love to hear yours as well. 715-396-1670. If you're brave enough to put it in your own voice, what was your embarrassing moment? Maybe something your kids did to embarrass you. This one says, I held the door open for a woman and she said, thank you. I was trying to say, you're welcome or not a problem, but my mouth said, you're a problem. What? Open the door, thank you. You're a problem. Not what she was going for.
So aggressive.
Yes, yes. Can I do a bonus one or two here?
Go because, for it. They're great. I love these.
Yeah. Do you have any more?
I'll look for some.
All right. So here's one. When I was seven, embarrassing moments here. When I was seven, I went to sign up for a library card and the lady at the desk was filling out my form and she asked, name of the Father? I said, and Son and Holy Spirit. Hey, that's pretty good for a seven-year-old.
Yeah. I saw a girl carrying a hamster, so I asked if I could pet it, but it was actually a muffin, so I'm on my way to jump off a cliff now.
Can I pet your hamster? It's Blueberry. And finally, just one more here, the We Wake Up Show Embarrassing Moments. We'd love to hear yours, 715-396-1670, if you're willing to share. This one says, I'm screaming. I just hugged my dentist, thinking he was going in for a hug, but really, he was just taking off my dental bib.
Oh,
I don't think I can ever recover from this. Oh, bring it in.
Going to the dentist doesn't need to be made any more awkward. They're already digging around in your mouth. Oh, doesn't need to be more uncomfortable than that.
Maybe more people need hugs from their dentist. Shook Family Dental. They're compassionate, kind, and they'd give you a hug.
Yes, we were in New York City a number of years ago, and we went to the Phantom of the Opera. And when we were coming out, there were like thousands of people on the street. It was lit up. It was at night, and it was just like daytime. And I asked my son to flag down a cab so we could get back to our motel. And he said, well, Dad, before we do that, maybe you want to pull your pants up. And I go, what do you mean? And he says, isn't it a little cold? I go, yeah. And I looked down, and here my pants had fallen down my shoes. All these people were walking by, and nobody seemed to notice or say anything. But it was an embarrassment for me.
Do we have to come up with embarrassing moments that have happened to
like
us?
I feel like it's only fair. We've shared so many. I'm struggling. I can't think of anything.
I'll have to go first then.
Yeah, go for it.
So here's the thing. I've shared before a couple truly embarrassing moments because it has happened more than one time that in a room with glass doors and big glass windows, next to those glass doors, including here at the station, I have walked slap bang into them. So I'm not going to reiterate that. Check out the podcast from a while back if you want to hear Mark and Susan's reactions to me doing that not once but twice. But here's another embarrassing moment that happened. So were we married yet? I don't think we were married yet. But my wife and I were dating and I went to pick her up for a movie or something from her parents' house. And it was kind of the dead of winter like this. And for whatever reason, her parents live in Dallas. And so there's kind of a little frontage road going out from her parents' driveway and use that to connect to one of the more main roads. And I thought, for whatever reason, not being a car guy, that it would impress my wife if I did an e-brake slide onto that frontage road, gunning it out of her parents' driveway. So again, her parents were in the house. She and I were in the car, and I gunned it out of the driveway, pulled the emergency brake, and thought I could whip a right angle turn into that frontage road. Nobody's there. Again, mm-hmm. Very small town. It was safe. But unfortunately, what I didn't realize is that my brakes would lock up. And so instead of, you know, doing a fast and furious type of slide, uh-huh. going one direction, then perpendicular to the other, instead my brakes locked up. And even though I pulled the emergency brake, I plowed straight into a snowbank. So again, I'm trying to impress my wife, who was, you know, then my girlfriend. And not only was she very unimpressed, her dad had to come out of the house and pull us out with the tractor. And so it's like, here's the young man who wants to be the protector and provider of your daughter. And he plows his car into a snowbank, trying to show off a move that he is not capable of doing.
Immediately after leaving the driveway.
Oh, mortifying. Mortifying. Oh, and the thing is, my father-in-law, Steve, was very kind. He's like, oh, it happened to anyone. No, it can't. No, it can't, because no one's as dumb as I am. So, yeah, wow. That was one of my more recent embarrassing moments.
Mm.
There. I've shared it. If you have one you'd like to share, 715-396-1670. Anything coming to mind, or should we wait to the end of the show?
The only thing the one that's standing out, I was in plays when I was younger, yeah. And, you know, you practice them for months, you go out on stage, and it was with Karen Herter's, one of the King Arthur plays that sure. She put on. And a friend of mine and I were acting across from each other as knights, and we got in a fight the night of our opening night. A bit of an argument. So we were going out on stage, and I don't know if it was related, but we were exchanging lines between each other, and I could not remember what I was supposed to say to him, and I looked in his eyes, and I could see he did not know what he was supposed to say to me. And we looked to the only other person on stage with us, and he just picked up to the end of the scene, and we were both just... You know, we're staring out at the audience. We're mortified. It's like...
Because neither one of you...
Knows what to do. Both of us are angry at each other. We're both looking to each other for help. We're all drowning out here. And we got off the stage. The rest of the scene went fine. And, you know, whatever we were arguing about, I can't remember, was just gone as we both just shared that moment of falling eternally in
did
front
it bring
of...
You, did it bring you back together as friends and end the argument? When it's just like, yep, yeah, we just shared some
the argument was long gone at that. We've suffered something far more terrifying than... So I think that's the one that comes to mind.
Shared misery can bring people together.